On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports for a depressing evening in the Blue Jays fan base, where my co-host for the evening and I certainly reside. Well, at least we used to. We'll see if we still do. Maddie Lang's with me. He was on the ground today in downtown Toronto over at the Dome. How are you holding up, man? I'm sure the raging alcoholism is keeping you afloat somewhat. It'll be tough in the morning, but for right now you're doing all right, probably.
Is it an antidepressant, a depressant? What is this for?
I think what it's, whatever I doing you, here? It's whatever you want it to be, I think.
I'm not sure if it's the beer, it's the game, or the fact that I was spending $12 for a beer at the game.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
That's making me feel this way right now.
That doesn't help, yeah. I think it's an antidepressant at first, and then when you run out of it, then it's just extra
then it's
depressing.
Just depressing.
Yes, exactly. Man, so the Jays go down in 5 games. If any of you listened to the last episode of this show, you would hear two gentlemen be very wrong in their predictions for the series.
Anybody who knows us will know that that's more common than not.
Come on. No, we're experts, man. We're experts. 5 games they went down. They scored 12 runs or gave up 12 runs in 5 games and still couldn't get it done. We took a little time tonight. Sometimes it's like a bad breakup, right? Sometimes it's good to sit down and talk about it. And other times you say things you don't mean because you're speaking out of hurt, right? And it's a tough thing to do. But it's intermission of the Leafs game. They're slapping the tits off the Jets right now, which is cushioning the blow just a little bit.
Thank God.
Yeah. So,
thank God for the Leafs, eh?
They'll let us down. Yeah, wow. People don't say that too often, but just the teams that we go in to visit usually. So we thought we'd take a couple of minutes here and just kind of basically the hottest of hot takes. So where are you at with this one? First impressions.
Man, just depressing. Absolutely depressing. Jesus. You know what? Like, how many Jays games? I mean, you live out of town now, and you still get yourself to a couple Jays games a year. You know, I go to 10 to 15 Jays games a year, living downtown in the city. I don't live too far from the stadium, so it's an easy afternoon for me sometimes.
Right.
Gosh, you know what? Holly, who's been on the show before, mm-hmm. her and I did a little road trip to Fenway this year, and that was a nice, fun trip. And I've seen some bad Jays games in my time.
Don't bring
day.
Up Boston, man, because everyone sat here going, man, I'd rather see Cleveland than Boston. And Cleveland just went through us like nothing. Maybe we would have rather seen Boston. So
just railroaded us,
yeah,
right?
Honestly. I mean, no lube, just hammered away.
Just right in there. There's no, they didn't even buy me a drink on the way in. It's the least I asked for. You know, and they, God, you know, this was a very hard game to go to. And, you know, for what it's worth, this was my first playoff game of the year. There hadn't been that many home playoff games this year.
Right.
So the tickets were a little harder to come by. Last year, I had been to four games. Nice. And I was actually at game five last year with Estrada pitching.
He's the guy who hit the baby with a beer.
I thought, I know. You should see my arm coming in, right? I told you I should have been in there for Tapera.
Yeah.
Should have been me the whole time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like I thought, hey, here we go. Here's Estrada coming in, and a little bit of a rough first inning for the guy. And you give him that. And did he have his best stuff? No. Was he awful? No. He limited the damage and on a day he wasn't his best. And for anybody who was on Twitter following me today, you know, I was there with my with Mama Lang today.
Oh, nice.
And even she's sitting there beside me going, they're really letting this pitcher down. So that, if it tells you anything, that the crowd knew what was up, and it was almost like the crowd was dead. You know, we came in really hot, and the first three innings just sucked the life out of the stadium.
Well, so two things on that. One, because I noticed it a little bit in both of the first two games. It was a quieter crowd, certainly more yesterday than in game three.
Mm-hmm.
In game four, you're on the edge of elimination, right? You're nervous.
The
other thing is, as the, you know this from your Raptors games, as the season or as the playoffs move along, the tickets get more expensive.
Yeah.
And so your hardcore fans, some of them start to get squeezed, and you start to see more of that Leaf crowd a little bit. I don't think it was totally that, but I do think that was a part of it. And the crowd definitely seemed a little quieter than the last round and certainly than the wild card game. And
No, definitely. I mean, that's a totally fair point, especially in a city like Toronto. I think the crowd was probably a little more blue collar today and yesterday just because the secondary ticket prices dropped a little bit.
Yeah, well, once they got down 3-0, it seemed like a lot of people bailed, right? So,
oh, totally. And, I mean, you touched on it. I mean, I've been to my fair share of Game 7 Raptor games. Some they've lost, some they've won. Lucky enough for me, I've been to more Game 7s where they've actually won,
right,
which has been nice. But you are sitting on eggshells, but there's a certain energy to that crowd, and it was very different today. I mean, you're also looking at, you know, the difference is 18,000 fans versus 50,000 fans.
Yep.
So you got to fill that crowd with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It was a very weird crowd where there wasn't the same chanting that you would expect from a Jays crowd. I've been there on a Saturday afternoon where the Jose, Jose, Jose chants down, where the Tulo chants rained down. That wasn't happening today. And I'm not sure if it was, you know, maybe it was the change in crowd. Maybe it was a little bit of trepidation by the crowd, not wanting to get a little too into it. Maybe it was just that walking on eggshells. It seemed like the team, the crowd, everybody was just a little wary. You know, yesterday they had nothing to lose.
Today
they had everything to lose.
Would you say that, and that's interesting, I want to come back to that. Would you say that, aside from the idiot running on the field, that the top of or the bottom of the ninth was as loud as it was all day? Because that's kind of how it was coming across on TV, especially once Jose hit that double. You got Donaldson behind him, EE and Tulo coming. Like I said it in, I think, the sixth or seventh inning. I can't remember. I put it out there on our Twitter account at Tallcan Sports. I said, you get your guys once more, right? Like the exact guys you want to see up will come up again, and they're going to get it done or they're not. And that's the way it played out. You saw those guys that you would have wanted to see in that situation. And it seemed like, at least for a while there, especially through the Donaldson at bat at least, and even through Edwin, that the crowd was jacked, feeling like maybe we're going to get something here after that double. Was that the loudest that it was all day, or was that just a TV read?
I think you're 100% right. The crowd really got into it at that point. That was actually the only Jose chant.
Right.
Was at the top of the ninth or the bottom of the ninth inning, which to me was surprising. I mean, everybody who knows me knows I'm a big Jose fan.
Right.
unbiasedly or biasedly a Jose fan.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy has led this team for the last 5 to 6 years now, right? Since Doc left,
yep.
It's been his team.
For sure.
I think he gets kind of a bad rap, definitely around the league, but
well, let's face it, he's an asshole.
Oh, he's an asshole.
I love him. He's our asshole, but he's an asshole, right? Like, he does rub some people the wrong way.
Totally. And I don't, my whole issue is, you know, there's a lot of people, especially, you know, in the media right now, and some people who aren't in the media who are just, you know, behind a keyboard right now talking about how, you know, he shouldn't have said that about the starter, and he shouldn't have been so overconfident. Listen, this is Major League Sports, right? We want a guy who's going out.
And you throw that question at him, right? Like, are you guys intimidated? Like, that's, in a nutshell, all that was asked, like, do you guys think you're, you know, are you worried about not knowing this guy too well? And all he said was, this is a guy who's never started a game like this before in his life, and he's got to face us. So go ask him, basically, right? Is he scared? Or I'd rather be us than him,
basically.
I don't
see the problem in that at all. I don't have a problem with one of my best players on our team being confident. And he should be confident, right? I mean, this year they didn't lead the majors in runs, but last year they did.
Yep.
This year they were pretty close outside of
they were still
the
top
Boston
five
Red
offense.
Sox.
Yeah.
You got a guy who's in the last 5 years is the number two home run hitter in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he should be confident, and anybody who's saying anything other than that has either never played sports or they're just drunk.
Well,
like us, right? I'm so sick of listening to these, and you know,
but it's
let me say it this way, but these hockey guys who just, you know, these Sidney Crosbys who just say the status quo answer because that's what they've been taught, and everybody gets upset that they give the status quo answers. Then we have a guy here who says, you know what, no, this guy should be scared, and the media turns on them too. It's like, where do you go?
But they're so desperate to create a story, right, where their one doesn't exist. We saw this, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, and it happens a lot more in hockey where they love the guarantee, right? 94, Messier guarantees victory against the, and that's what he did. He absolutely did it, and it was a crazy story, and that's what happened.
Yep.
So 2 years ago, and it's happened 100 times since then, where they try and goat you into it, right? Are you guaranteeing victory? And so Ovechkin is getting ready to play the Rangers in game 6 or 7, and they ask him, you know, are you guys going to win tonight? And what do you want him to say? No? Like, and so he goes, yeah, I think we're moving on. Well,
of course and now, you should
now,
think that.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden, they're running with it. Oh, he's guaranteed, you said they're going to win. Well, what the fuck? If he'd have said the opposite, you'd have been just as crazy with it, so... This is the thing, right? And we see it a lot. Bautista's got a big mouth, and he's never been afraid to talk, but he usually backs it up. So
he usually backs it up.
Power
and
to him.
To be honest, today he came in, he was one of the only guys who was getting hits today, to be honest.
It's true.
And I mean, you go down to the ninth inning, the pressure's on. You know this might be your last at-bat as a Blue Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up with a big hit. Again, it wasn't a home run this time, but it was a big hit.
That's it. If they come back, if Donaldson gets on and Edwin drives them in and it's tied and we're moving on and staying alive, he's a hero again. He led that off. He's so clutch. He did it last year in game 5. He did it in the ALDS. He, like, you just go, but it goes
in the
other
wild
way.
Card game
now
again.
He's a dick.
I mean,
so whatever. Right?
Like, it's a very fickle crowd here sometimes. And you know how the Sky Dome is, and for any of the listeners out there, you know how the Sky Dome is, and for those of you who don't, I'm going to describe it to you. It's a big concrete shithole.
The concrete convertible.
Yeah, that's right. And when you're sitting up in the 500s where I was today, you got to walk. It seems like forever. It's probably about a 5-minute walk straight uphill.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of walking, and you kind of cross a lot of fans in the meantime. Going down that ramp today, there was a lot of guys. There was one guy in a Gibbons jersey, if you can believe it or not, which kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop.
Must have been his brother.
You got to figure it's his, you know, his nephew twice removed or something, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
There was a Kawasaki jersey. There was a Barney jersey, and these guys are sitting there going, "Oh, didn't you know Bautista didn't do anything? Let him go next year." And I'm sitting there going, "You guys were the same guys who were cheering last year when he flipped his bat." And in the wild card game where he hit a home run in the second inning.
Yeah.
You can't pick your moments a little bit, right?
But he did have a shit series. And
he
now,
did have he wasn't the best this series.
Edwin didn't have a good series. Tulo didn't have. Martin had a terrible playoff in general. So I'm certainly not putting it all on him. But one, you do need to give yourself a little time to remove the emotion from it, and then start to look at. And it's been talked about on this program before that maybe it's time for him to go. Right? Maybe it's one or the other, because he's either got a DH or play first, and if you're trying to keep Edwin, then, you know, that position's kind of filled.
And I totally agree with you as a complete Bochy fan for the last six years.
And I know that's not your point, but your point is these douchebags that are walking around. But I'm just, can't remember day to day, right?
Like, at $20 million for a guy who can probably only play the DH position at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be in the outfield anymore.
No,
I've been on this train since last year, watching him in the playoffs. He can't run in the outfield anymore. He can't run the bases reliably.
Was it yesterday? Or was it game three or four where he's back at the wall? He's got it in his glove, and it's still like it's a tough play. But come on, it's in your glove. You got to squeeze that, man.
Yeah, I want to say that was game three, and he did the same thing in game two last year against Texas in the ALDS.
Yeah, that's right.
He just shouldn't be in the outfield anymore. He's either got to move to first or to DH. That's just, you know, that's just the way it is, right? At some point, Ken Griffey needed to DH in his career. That's just the way it is. Can he still swing the bat? Sure. Do you want to pay that guy $20 million a year to play DH? That's for other guys to decide. But
well, it's not. I'm going to ask you right now. If you're only keeping one, or like, what do you want to do here?
Mm-hmm. So
because it is the hottest of hot takes, because this game's like 2 hours old, and like I said, this is where you start to speak out of hurt a little bit, and oh, that bitch, she had it coming.
Well, she always had it coming. You know that. It was always her fault every day of the week.
Exactly, you know? Right? So,
speaking from a little bit of experience, and I know some people who know a little bit more than you or I do,
right,
in down with the Jays.
I doubt that.
Well, don't you still have Roberto Alomar's cell phone number?
Obviously I do. Next week on Tall Can Sports, folks.
But, you know, it's the stuff we don't see. And from what I've heard from some people, it's that it's the stuff in the dressing room. And he is the link between, not to make a racial, but some of the Dominican and Latino players.
I've heard that too, yep.
And
not from any great sources, but yeah, I've heard that he's kind of that go-between.
Yeah, and without naming any names, I've heard it from some guys who work on the team.
Right, sure.
Or work with the team. And, I mean, you know, at some point the money's going to make sense and the positions have to make sense and everything else. But the other rumor is that they are looking at Joey Votto, and that's very well known around the league. So they're looking to replace one of the guys. And is Edwin Encarnacion at $35 million versus Bautista at $20 million worth the same?
There's no way those are going to be the numbers.
They might be, though, right?
35 for Edwin.
Well, they're looking at 30-plus, right?
No,
I mean, I'm throwing 35 out there, but 30 is what they're looking at, right?
I'd be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked for a DH who's not going to play the field. I mean, maybe he's going to play a little first, but
I'd be very surprised to see what Boston offers him. What did they offer?
It'll be 20 to 25. Yeah, that's supposed to be an ace, right?
Supposed to be an ace. Somebody's going to throw lots of money at him this year. And the man went out and earned the money, right? He went out and earned his cash this year. We live in it's free agency, right? It's the same. It's an open market. These guys got to go get paid.
Yeah.
Nobody can ever have an issue with that. You got to go get paid. If you're a great physician, if you're a great programmer for computers or websites, you're going to go get paid no matter what you do. Fans can't take that offensively.
It'd
be great if we had one or both of them back, but we also have to prepare for a scenario where neither of them are back.
I think the only way you can allow that to happen is if Votto's coming in. And I think at that point you can go Donaldson, Votto, Tulo as your 2-3-4 and still be in pretty good shape, right? And now you've also got a little staggered. And that in that case, you can let both of those guys go. Otherwise, one of them's got to be back. And I really feel like it's going to be Bautista that's looking for more money than Edwin. And Edwin, an MLB.com reporter is reporting tonight that in the clubhouse, Edwin's saying on free agency, Toronto is his number one choice. He wants to be back here. Now, he could be saying that. There's also some emotion there of being there with your teammates going through something difficult. But he also said it at the during the wild card game. This is why I want to come back here.
Totally.
Around to the stadium, right? I think he might be willing to take more of it. He's going to get paid. He's not coming back for $5 million or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
But he's going to get paid. But I have a feeling if only one's coming back, I feel like it's probably going to be him.
I got 2 points to that.
All right.
One, that's the same conversation that David Price had last year before he left.
Why do you hurt me like
and
this?
It wasn't anything to do with the fans. It wasn't anything to do with David Price. It's just the Jays decided we can't afford you and do the things we want to do.
Yeah,
that's all it came down to, right? They said we can either have David Price or we can have Estrada and J.A. Happ. And as much as the rest of the world was upset about it, except for Mark Shapiro.
Yeah.
He was right in that case.
That
I'm not saying that's
what's
going to happen.
That doesn't
this
get said on this show a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that's what's going to happen this time, but the management has shown they're going to make the shrewd moves, right?
Yeah.
They're going to make the unpopular moves to do what's best for this team. This team's window is not closed because we have a 37-year-old slugger who's hitting free agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Bautista leaves, it's okay. And the Leafs just scored, so I'm feeling just a little bit better right now. There you go.
Well,
on the power play, Bufflin was in the penalty box, so I can't tell who scored yet. It was just out of the corner of my eye.
All right, see, I got Bufflin. I got Bufflin in the pool. So
there we go. So you got the penalty minutes.
Two penalty minutes.
Nylander just scored. There we go.
All right.
That's who it was.
First of the year for him, I believe.
Right on, boys.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to take the sting out of the evening.
There you go. This is what you don't get, you know, when you're listening to anybody else's podcast. The raw emotion.
Well, and two guys getting easily distracted.
Hey, I got, that might have been Matthews on the assist, and that might be a power play point for me, so I'm happy.
All right.
Take that, Amy Burke.
Back
to that point. Oh, and we potted another one. No joke.
Holy shit.
Same line just went out and just scored right now.
I love the Jets.
There we go. Hey, oh, that might have been Nazim Kadri.
Nazim the Dream?
Nazim the Dream. Nobody's called him that since we started drafting real first rounders. But there you go. He's trying to make his way onto the
team.
Don't
forget about me, guys.
That's right. Exactly. To that point, I mean, you're right. I do like the idea of them going to get Joey Votto, adding a left-handed bat in that right-handed heavy lineup.
Yeah,
I think is great. Joey Votto is a guy who's won a batting title, not just a RBI and home run machine.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who's going to go out in tough games and just take what he's given.
But he's also making a metric shit ton of money for a long time as well. So.
Yeah, so I mean, you're kind of picking your poison.
Yeah,
and I'm very over these days of pretending the Jays are broke.
For sure, I was going to bring that up. This is you. This franchise, this fan base, deserves a top five payroll, deserves a state of the art stadium, right? Like all these you're talking about. Look at the money this team has made over the last 2 years on ratings and on tickets and on jerseys and what. There is no excuse. They used to sit there. They used to sit there and say, "Well, when the fans show us something, then we'll be able to spend." That's not how it fucking works. You go and commit, and then the fans will get on board. And as soon as they did that, the fans were on board, and they haven't looked back. 3 million people in the gates of the dome this year. Spend the fucking money. I got a little bit on a tirade there.
I didn't want to step on your toes on that tirade.
Spend it
to be. To be honest, I can tell you, I have been down to Jay Shop twice, specifically when I've not been at games, just to Jay Shop. And both times, let's call it about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon after work. and there is no less than 20 people in there shopping.
Yeah.
That's on a Wednesday afternoon randomly.
Yep.
I mean, I went to get, a couple things to take with us to Fenway.
Right.
When we went there. So we're talking early in the season. It's May, and I show up. And Jay shop on a Wednesday when the Jays aren't in town is busy. They are making money.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And they are making money.
And this Canadian dollar, this crying poor, all this stuff, it's over. It's the fourth largest market on the continent. Okay, you're talking L.A., Chicago, Toronto, New York. Not necessarily, obviously not in that order. But that's what you're looking at. And you don't get to keep pretending you don't have any money. Now, that doesn't mean go piss it away and sign Bautista for a decade and these sorts of things. But they got to do something. Because this pitching staff, it's great. And it's all coming back. Except for Dickey and psh, see ya, bud. Lariano gets plunked in there and you're miles ahead. Hap is back. Estrada's back. Sanchez, Stroman, Lariano. You're fine. So make sure this lineup and this bullpen gets what it needs and keep this thing going.
100%. Yeah. 100%. The window is small, and we've got some of the best players, third base, shortstop, first base. We've got the best pitching staff in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Starting pitching staff in the league anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just decide, let's do a reset right now. And I don't get the sense that that's what they're going to do right now. I think they're expecting a little bit of a backlash with Eddie and Jose.
Yeah.
But after this playoff series and watching guys like Lindor and
oh, they had so many guys. Perez was great. Santana was great.
And Hannah, you're looking at these guys who are just willing to take hits.
Yep.
And change their batting approach. And that's why, to be honest, I was a little surprised and, you know, happy for a guy like Gibby who, you know, has been, you know, bulletin board fodder for the media for two, three years now, who's getting his due. You know, they turned around and said, yeah, don't worry, Gibby's back next year.
Yep, that's already been thrown down. He's coming back.
Good for Gibby. And we've talked about this. We're two of the only guys maybe in Toronto fandom who actually like Gibby.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an awful manager. I told you today over Twitter, you know, Francona out-coached him. And
yeah, I don't get that.
That's not a knock on Gibby. That's just Francona's just better.
Well, but sure, but it's also the situation. Francona had to. Like, his pitcher's finger fell off, and he had to navigate his way through a whole game with his bullpen, and he did it, and he did it well. Gibbons didn't have to do that. I thought he used the pen well. A lot of people are talking, and maybe I can see it, that in the eighth, they should have brought Pompey in today. But you're down by three, right? And so even if he scoots around, steals second, steals third, steals home, I mean, yeah, it's good. But, you know, it wasn't, to me, that wasn't a game. I think you're kind of saving him for a chance where you've really got something going. I guess I can kind of get on side and see maybe you should have done it, but I don't really see that as a big thing for me. And beyond that, I think he made the right moves, at least through this whole series. But no one hit. Like,
I don't think, no, and I totally agree with you. I mean, you put your players in the position to win, right? I mean, that's your job as a manager.
Yeah.
And to win and to hit and to pitch and to make those plays that you can make. I just feel like having watched, you know, looking retrospectively on a couple of those games, you see some places where maybe he left his guys in just a little bit longer than they should have been.
Yeah, maybe.
I think I was very surprised that
I think conversely, Navarro,
sorry?
I think conversely, those, I don't know if I would have pulled Sanchez as early as he did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean Sanchez was looking good.
Yeah.
I don't know why they pulled him at that point. I mean, you can't argue with leaving Estrada in with game one.
Right.
He did get some pitchers going today when it looked like Estrada was in trouble. He kind of calmed down and he was fine. More with some of the pinch hitting and some of the starting lineup moves.
Yeah.
You got a guy like Cabrera who was just feeling it and he kept him at the bottom of the lineup. I thought that was a little funny.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought he waited too long to switch Tulo and Martin. I was surprised that he didn't bring Navarro in a little bit earlier. I know Russell Martin's your guy, but the guy's hitting. I mean, you might as well have had me up at bat at some points in this series, the way Russell Martin was swinging his stick. And nothing against Russell Martin, man. That guy's
you're trying to get on this team, eh? Last week, you're wanting on the pitching staff. Now you're wanting to pinch hit for Russell.
I'm a much better pitcher than I was a bat catcher. So you know, I'm starting at the top and working my way down.
All right, fair enough.
You know, I mean, what do you expect of your bat catcher? I get it, but if you want to keep him in the lineup, maybe drop him down in the lineup. You can't have the guy hitting fifth who's batting 77.
Yeah.
That's just you're not going to win any playoff series doing that.
Well, I tweeted out yesterday, I miss Toley.
Well, hey, let's not go that far.
Right. No, it's interesting. Do you think, and we'll start to wind this down, but a couple of questions for you. Do you think Estrada, I thought he was okay today, but I didn't think he was anywhere as good as he was in game one, and I didn't think he was as good as he was in the ALDS. Do you think there's something because of the way he pitches, right? And I can hear people getting ready on their keyboards to lash out at me here. When you only see him once or twice a season as an opponent, all that off-speed stuff, that slow fastball, all that stuff that he throws at you kind of catches you off guard because your bat's already sped up. Same in the ALDS, right, where they only saw him once. Here they saw him twice within 5 days.
Yeah.
And I think when that's what you throw, that type of off-speed, slower stuff, I think they're waiting on you a little bit, right? And when they see that type of pitcher twice so close together, do you think there's anything? I mean, he wasn't terrible today by any means, and I'm not trying to shit on him. The guy sat there in his stall in the locker room after the game today telling reporters he felt like he left his teammates down. Well, he pitched 14 fantastic innings, and his offense gave him nothing. So, but it did seem like maybe they were waiting on him a little today.
It did look from my viewpoint. I was on the third base side, so I had a good view when there was a left-handed batter up.
Right.
It did look like they were waiting for certain pitches. It also looked like he wasn't as sharp as he normally is.
Yeah.
He was watching on TV, you can definitely see it better. It didn't look like he was hitting the corners like he normally did. The Napoli hit out in the first inning looked like it was right over plate. Santana waited for something right over plate.
Yeah.
Coco Crisp, God, where the hell that come from?
Yeah.
But
that guy's hitting you hard, man.
It looked like he was reaching for a pitch because guys were fouling those off-speed pitches away. So to me, it looked like they were decided, okay, let's foul off those pitches and wait for that bad pitch. And they got three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he wasn't terrible. He got a lot of ground ball outs. He got a lot of pop fly outs. There was maybe three or four well-hit balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, two of them cranked over the wall.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so, I mean, at this point, we've got the best pitching staff in the AL coming back. They've said Gibby's coming back. The bullpen needs a little attention only because Benoit and Grilly are going to be another year older, so who knows when that starts to break down. There's some questions to come. Do you think at this point, you know, was this, maybe this is two different questions, was this the end of an era or slash and is this the end of a window? Have they done this twice in a row and is their best chance behind them?
For me, this seemed like the end of the long ball era in Toronto.
And it does kind of feel like it has to be. We talked last week that this could be this team could be a little like Kansas City, where the rotation wasn't great, but the bullpen was, and the lineup is kind of death by 1,000 paper cuts. and that sort of played out. So it does seem like maybe they need a little less of the power and a little more of the contact.
Yes. I just think we've done this, you know, 2 years in a row. I think it was great and it got us this far, but it's really showing that this it's leaving a lot of fans wanting something more, and we need a lot more baseball players rather than long ball hitters.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, there's a reason Mark McGwire, towards the end of his career, didn't do it. There's a reason Sammy Sosa, during his career with his cork bat, didn't do it. I don't know how I managed to throw that reference.
Yeah, wow. I did not see McGwire and Sosa comments coming in this show, but fair enough.
Right? These guys just, these teams that were based around that big long ball don't make it work at the end of the day. And there was a great article on the Ringer that said maybe the Jays are the ones who stopped that trend.
Nope.
And, you know, if it wasn't going to be the Jays, it's not going to be anybody, because there's no team in the league who mashes like the Jays.
Right.
Not with this lineup. So you see in Cleveland what the Jays want to do and will do. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see a change in a couple guys this year. And you know what? Sad, like you said, right? It's that sad breakup day. We're going to go through some emotions. We're going to be sad. We're going to be angry. We're going to miss them. We're going to want them back. But it's still a very good team. We still have the same pitching staff going forward. And the window isn't over yet. We have to see what this team is going to do this year. And a year with Atkins and a year with Shapiro, and you know, who knows? We're that close. We're still that close, right?
Yep.
We're and better off than the Yankees. We're better off than the Red Sox. We're better off than the Rays.
Well, they are, with Edwin and Bautista, the oldest team in baseball. But even if both of them leave, you're still looking at Tulo and Martin and some older guys here. So they do need some youth to come in. And if Votto comes in, I mean, that's an older player as well. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. I'm just, it is a concern. And how long do you keep it going? But I agree. I think this is the end of a chapter, but I don't think there's a huge drop-off necessarily coming. I could be wrong. We were both very wrong going into this series, but I think there's another year or two still where this team can compete.
I think you'd find it hard-pressed to find people who would disagree with you on that based on pitching. The pitching is really reliant on Sanchez and Stroman getting better next year.
Right.
And you would expect these guys to get better. You'd expect Osuna to get better.
No innings limit for Sanchez next year.
That's right. You hope Grilly sticks around. Maybe Cecil, who started to pick it up towards the end of the year, continues to recover from that.
Only gave up one run since September 1st, and people were still shitting on him. So, I mean, it just became a bit of a habit. But, I mean, for sure, he had a terrible season, but towards the end, he was fine.
He wasn't, but that's Toronto sports, right? We tend to have short-sightedness for some guys and long-term memory for other guys. And the guy came back from a serious injury this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that. I mean, he was outstanding last year, but when your pitching leg tears an Achilles, you're going to have some issues, right? So, if they want a better physio, I don't know. I'm available. Still trying to make my way on that team somehow.
Well, I don't want to interrupt your raging alcoholism for too long, so we'll wrap this up, because I have to get back to mine. Maybe we can... I can't believe I'm pinning my hopes of keeping me happy on the Toronto Maple Leafs, but for now, that's what's going to have to happen. Thanks for doing this one. It's an emotional day, so I'm glad you were able to
pull it together.
Yeah, exactly. We'll keep the Kleenex boxes nearby, but...
Don't put them too far away. But you know what? We've got the Raptors home opener on Wednesday.
Womp, womp, womp.
Womp, womp. you know what? For you non-Raptor fans, it's going to be a great battle this year in the East between Toronto and Boston.
You mean to see who gets to lose to Cleveland in the Eastern Final?
Exactly.
Well, can't wait for that. I'm sick of... I don't want to live in a world where Cleveland sports are the measuring stick in my city. I just can't be a part of that.
No, Jesus. Well, you know what? LeBron's hairline, so.
Yeah. Take that, you
take
best
that,
player
Cleveland.
In the world, I guess. And even he's tweeting about the fucking Cleveland. Whatever. Let's get the hell out of here. I'm getting all worked up again. Thanks, Maddie.
Go get another beer, buddy.
Yeah, that's Talkin' Sports. We'll see you.
Talk soon.
This one's empty.
For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.